This month's theme has been on fulfilling God's plan and destiny. Fulfilling God's plan and destiny. And tonight's message is destiny and ordinary people. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29:11 if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. And at the end of the service, we have Bibles as gifts for you. There's Bibles in that box right there, large print, easy to read English. Jeremiah 29. Let me give you a little bit of background here. The people of Jerusalem had sinned against God. They had committed idolatry against God. And so God raised up the nation of Babylon to take them into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. And God says in Jeremiah 29:4, this is what the Lord, the God Almighty, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and so forth. And then we jump down to verse 10 of Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. In other words, to bring them back to Jerusalem after 70 years. Verse 11 is the key. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so this word given thousands of years ago to those people applies to us here tonight. It applies to you individually. God is saying, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has got a wonderful plan, a purpose, and a destiny for your life. And you might be thinking tonight, you know, I've sinned so badly against God. How can He use me? By faith in Christ, those sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God forgives and is the God of another chance, just as He was for the people of Jerusalem in Jeremiah 29. Is that good news here tonight? We serve the God of another chance and the God who forgives. It doesn't matter what's happened in your past. God forgave it. God forgot about it. And so should you. Maybe as a child, maybe you were talked down upon as a child. Maybe somebody told you. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a brother or a sister. Maybe they said you were a mistake or an accident going somewhere to happen. Maybe you were verbally abused, emotionally abused in an adult relationship. Maybe you were dating somebody. Maybe you were married and this person all the time verbally and emotionally abused you. And you know what? These people who spoke abusive words to you were inspired by the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. That wasn't God. That was the devil accusing you through other people. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You're not a spare part in this world. God has got a very special plan, a purpose, and a destiny for each and every single one of you listening here tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight that you are the apple of God's eye. You are the apple of God's eye. You are a diamond in the heart of God and the mind of God. Let me say it again. You are a diamond in the eyes of God, in the heart of God. And when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, tell yourself, I am a diamond to God. Say it every morning. I am a diamond to God. I am the apple of God's eye. You are so valuable to God. Let me ask you this question here tonight. Why are you so valuable to God? But first, let me ask, how is the value of anything determined? How is the value of any item in this world determined? Think about that for a second. How is the item of something or any item determined? It's determined by the price that was paid for it. All right, so in practical terms, say you go out and buy a car for $2,500. And the blue book says it's worth $2,500. What's the value of that car? $2,500. Why? Because that's the price you paid for it. Say you go into a neighborhood at some point and you buy a house for $40,000. And all the houses in that neighborhood are selling for about $40,000. What is the value of that house? $40,000, because that's the price that was paid for it. In other words, the value of an item is determined by the price that was paid for it. Is that making sense? So how is our value in the eyes of God determined? By the price that was paid for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 19, he says this: "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect." What did it take to purchase us out of the empty way of life handed down by our forefathers? What did it take to purchase us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light? What did it take to purchase us? It took the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of invaluable worth. What does that go to say about you and me? It goes to say that we're of invaluable worth to God, because it took the blood of invaluable worth to purchase you and me. Is that good news here tonight? See, our worth is determined by the price that was paid for us. The invaluable blood of Jesus Christ was paid for you and for me. So every time you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, say, you know what? I'm of invaluable worth to God, because the blood of invaluable worth was paid for me. Say it to yourself every single day. Because of your value, you're not an accident going somewhere to happen. Amen. You're not a mistake going somewhere to happen. You're not a mistake that has happened. You're not a spare part in this world. You see, God has got a special thing, a special plan, a destiny for your life. You're not called to just sit at the shelter year after year after year after year. Come on. This shelter is good for a time in your life to restore you back into society. It's good for a time in life, but it's not for you to be here year after year, decade after decade. Is that making sense? It's not for you to get comfortable, you know, and just sit and do nothing. God has got something for you to do starting today. And I encourage you to talk to God about it. God, you've placed me on earth with a purpose, with a plan. I'm valuable. I'm the apple of your eye. What is it, God, that you would have me to do with my life in this earth, in the body of Christ? And I'm here to tell you that if you pray that to God, God will answer your prayer. So let's talk about destiny and ordinary people. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the chapter of faith, or the hall of faith, however you want to call it. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. And this is what he writes. The first part of Hebrews chapter 11, the first half or more, is about people who did spectacular things for God's kingdom. But in verse 32, it talks about some other people who did spectacular things. It says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." Verse 35. "Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground." Verse 39, "They were all commended for the faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." So, if you look at the first few verses that we read, verses 32 through 34, it talks about some people who did some pretty spectacular things for God, as well as the rest of the start of the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. But then we come to verse 35, and it says this: "Women received back their dead, raised to life again." It's probably talking about the widow of Zarephath in the Old Testament. In verse 36, it says, some faced jeers and flogging. It could be talking of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20, verses 1 through 2. Then in verse 37, it says, they were stoned. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. It could be talking about the prophets put to death by the sword. In 1 Kings 18, verse 4, talked about others that went about in goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And so tonight you might be thinking, I feel just like these people in verses 35 and forward of Hebrews 11. I feel just like these people. I feel like an average Joe. You know, they were just ordinary people, common people. But you know what? The people we just read about in Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 38, were ordinary people who had what? Who had extraordinary faith in a big God. The people we just read about in Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 38, were ordinary people who had extraordinary faith in a very big God. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. And I'm here to tell you that God honors faith. And if you have strong faith in Him, extraordinary faith, you are extraordinary in His eyes. Yes. We're just ordinary people, you and I. But we can have extraordinary faith, great faith in a very big God. As I said, there were people who walked in the supernatural in verses 32 through 34. And I'm here to tell you tonight that guess what? You as well as an ordinary person, I as an ordinary person, can walk in the supernatural acts of God. You can do spectacular feats for the kingdom of God. What does Mark write in Mark chapter 16? Let's read it. Mark chapter 16. And it says this about believers in Jesus Christ. Mark 16 verses 17 through 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. You know, when you have extraordinary faith in a big God, you can do what Mark 16 is talking about, verses 17 and 18. God may send you to a hospital. He may send you to somebody who is comatose. And God may say, pray for that person.
That's right.
And you lay your hands on that sick person, and that person comes out of the coma.
Come on now.
God may send you to a person who's got migraine headaches, who's got brain cancer. And He might say, pray for that person.
Yeah.
And immediately the headaches disappear. And the cancer dissolves. God can do miracles, supernatural feats through your hands. Is that good news here tonight? God may send you to somebody who is demon possessed. And he may say, cast that demon out in Jesus' name. And you speak in Jesus' name, you cast that demon out, and it flees from the person. I was in India back in 2002. I think it was around March. And I was preaching the gospel to about 300 people in South India. And as I was preaching the gospel, there was this lady in the front sitting down who began to writhe like a snake. And I stopped in the middle of my message and I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to come out of this woman. And immediately she was in her right mind. The spirit left her. She sat up and listened to the rest of the message. I'm an ordinary person. We're ordinary people. If God could do it through me, He can do it through your hands and your mouth as well. Is that good news here tonight?
Yeah.
Let me say, the supernatural still occurs today.
Yes, it does.
Miracles still happen today. All right? I've seen it in my own ministry. You know, many of us here tonight are not like Elijah and Elisha of the Old Testament. It seemed like wherever Elijah and Elisha went, miracles followed them. It's like they walked in the supernatural, the spectacular, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. God can use you to do the supernatural in other people's lives. But, God will also call many of us to do seemingly unspectacular things. Let me say it again. God will call many of us listening here tonight to do seemingly unspectacular things, ordinary acts of service. And these seemingly unspectacular things are part of His plan and destiny for your life. The ordinary acts of service, the simple acts of service, are part of God's plan and destiny for your life. Is that making sense here tonight? It'll still take extraordinary faith to do those ordinary acts of ministry. You know, men and women may not recognize you on this earth as you do the ordinary for God. But guess what? The host of heaven recognizes it. God recognizes it. You know, people in this world may not reward you for the simple acts of service that you do on this earth. But guess what? When you get to heaven one day, God will reward you for the simple things you did for His kingdom. He'll say to you one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." Is that good news here tonight? All right. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 likens the body of Christ to a human body. And in the body of Christ, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you may be a mouth. Maybe a mouth. Maybe it's God's plan for your life to share the gospel just one-on-one.
That's right.
In a simple and ordinary way. Yes. Just to share the gospel one-on-one with somebody. Maybe God is calling you to hit the streets of downtown Tulsa. And God says, go out Saturday. And just walk the streets and start sharing my gospel one-on-one. He may not call you to speak in front of groups of people.
That's right.
But as a mouth, He may be calling you to speak one-to-one person at a time. It's simple. It's simple to share the gospel one-on-one, but guess what? It takes great faith to tell others of a God and a Jesus you have yet not physically seen.
Come on now.
Let me say it again. It's simple to share the gospel one-on-one, but it takes great faith to tell that one person of a God, of a Jesus you have not yet visually seen.
Amen.
Is that making sense here tonight? That could be part of God's plan and destiny for you and me, ordinary people. There's this man called Saeed Abedini, who was imprisoned 2 years ago, summer of 2012, for his Christian faith in Iran. The man has gone through imprisonment. You may have read about it. He's gone through beatings. He's gone through torture. But guess what? He stands for the Christian faith. Yeah. They are torturing this poor man in Iran as I speak. Being tortured for his faith in Christ. And guess what? He holds on. He will not renounce his faith in Jesus.
Amen.
In the midst of the tortures, the beatings, the imprisonments, he holds on tight to faith in Jesus Christ. What he's doing is very ordinary. Very ordinary. Very simple. Very humiliating. But guess what? It takes great faith for him to remain in prison. To take the beatings. Because he won't renounce his faith in Jesus. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
In America, you may not be imprisoned for your faith. But when you share the gospel, you may be mocked. They may make fun of you. They might say you're crazy, but it's okay. Keep sharing the gospel anyway. It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what another person thinks about you. Only what God thinks about you is what really matters. Is that good news here tonight? Stand up for the Jesus that you believe in, that you say that you believe in. Stand up for Him. Doesn't matter if they cuss at you while you share the gospel. Doesn't matter if they mock you. It doesn't make any difference, like he said. Stand up for what God is calling you to do, that simple act of ministry. Now, you might be the hands in the body of Christ. Maybe God is calling you to show affection, physical affection. Those who haven't been touched in a long time. Hugging that person who hasn't been touched in a long time. You know, it takes great faith to do this for somebody you have never met before. It takes great faith to hug somebody that may smell different, that looks different, that hasn't taken a shower for weeks and months. It takes great faith to meet a person that you've never seen before and hug them and tell them that God loves them. Is that making sense? Maybe God is calling you to speak words of encouragement to the downtrodden, to the depressed, to those who feel so low that they can do a push-up under a penny. It takes faith to speak to somebody words of encouragement out of the clear blue. Somebody you've never met before, but God says, go to that person.
Right.
Tell that person that I love him and that you believe in him. It takes great faith to step out and do that, taking the risk that you may be mocked, that you may be looked down upon. It doesn't matter. What God thinks about you is what really matters. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you've got time on your hands. And maybe the seemingly simple thing, the seemingly unspectacular act of ministry that God is asking you to do is take some of that time that you have during the week and spend it with the lonely.
Yes.
There's people out there that haven't had human interaction for a long time.
Yes, sir.
And they're suffering emotionally because of it. And maybe God is calling you to go to that hospital, to go underneath that bridge in downtown Tulsa, to go to that secluded street in Tulsa and share the gospel with that person who is sleeping out on the street.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe he's telling you to just spend some time with that person.
Yes.
You might have 10 or 15 hours a week of casual time. And maybe God is saying, I want you to spend 10 of those hours with the lonely, the depressed, and the downtrodden.
Come on.
That's unspectacular. It's a simple act of ministry, but guess what? It's part of God's plan and destiny for your life and my life.
Yes,
ordinary people. Is that making sense here tonight? God loves you so very much. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a destiny for your life. And let me say it again, you're not on this earth by accident.
That's right.
You're on this earth with a God-given divine and destiny and purpose.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
God may call you to do some pretty supernatural things for His kingdom.
Right.
Some pretty spectacular feats. But He's really going to call a lot of us to do some very unspectacular
yeah.
acts of service, like I just talked about.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.